powerful, powerful. I watch that over and over and over. And I never get tired of hearing Dr. King speak. I don't know about you. But today is the first Sunday in February. And February, we know, is Black History Month. Amen? Amen. You can clap for that. You can clap for that. That message was preached on April the 3rd, 1968, while he was in Memphis, Tennessee. And as you listen, if you listen to the whole thing, he talks about, you know, if he could ask in any time in history that God would allow him to live in. And he said he would pass through all these different eras, and he passed through the time of Aristotle and Plato and all of these eras. He said if he could have any choice, he'd like to be born right in this middle part, this second part of the 20th century, so that he could see what God was going to do for our people. And I praise God that we've made a lot of progress. Amen. But I played that message because I thought it was fitting. As you listen to him, he says, you know, we don't know what will happen now. I don't know what will happen, but he said, listen, I'd like to live a long life. But longevity has its place, but he's not concerned about that. And I love the thing he said. He says, what? I just want to do God's will. April the 3rd, 1968, this man had impacted the entire world. He's still impacting us. We are here today a lot, large part, because of his efforts and what he's done. April the 3rd, 1968, at 39 years old, looking like he had so much more life and so much more good to do, he didn't know that on April the 4th, 1968, he would be gone. And what I love to hear in his voice is he said, listen, he was ready to go. He said, I'm not concerned about long life. If I leave today, all I want to do is what? God's will. And as I thought about that speech came to me as I thought about the events that happened this past week. You know, last Sunday we were here and we talked about how God is in control. And I just shared my testimony and my wife's testimony. She had a chance to share, but God allowed us to go through and to show us that God is in control. And one of the points that we said last week, that the very time is in his hands. And I didn't know that while I was speaking that word, that across the country in Los Angeles, California, somebody that I just admire, an athlete that's for the ages, one of the best, to me, the second best of all time. Kobe Bryant and his daughter lost their life with seven other people in a tragic helicopter accident. And that just further impressed upon me. And I don't know about you, this week has just not seemed right. You know, my son is 11 years old, and he came to me that night and said, Daddy, I can't sleep. He's a basketball player. He looks up to Kobe, and he, 11 years old, he couldn't sleep at night because all he could think about was Kobe Bryant and his family. And then later on in the week, he just said, Daddy, something doesn't feel right in the world. It just seems dark. And I'm like, this is 11 years old. He sensed something is moving. Something is not right. And we look at what happened, what my wife just went through a week or two ago. And then we get word also this week that you all know Zay and Janice, Tracy's nephew. Janice is due March the 15th, March the 6th. She began spotting, had to have an emergency cesarean section 2 days ago. And some of you knew that, some of you didn't, but now she birthed a 3-pound, 14-ounce baby. We praise God that mom and baby are doing all right today. But on the morning that we heard that she's spotting, she's going to the hospital, all we can say, Lord, what in the world is going on? And all it can remind me is that God is in control. And you know what it says? Listen, no matter what, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you think you are, the question is, are you ready or not? Because you could be 99 or you could be 19. You could be 41 like Kobe Bryant, 12, 13 like his daughter. And that, listen, God is no respecter of persons on the good sense, but guess what? On the other side too, it doesn't matter how old you are. Are you ready or not? And as I thought about Dr. King said, listen, I'm ready. I'm just waiting. As long as I'm in the sweet spot, doing what God has called me to do. And I felt I would be remiss if I let this week pass, and what has happened is all in the news. Y'all seen it. It's all over the news. I mean, it got to the point where I had to stop watching it. But I just want to remind us all that tomorrow is not promised to us. And ask you, are you ready? And while we're in this moment in time, you all have seen it said and portrayed like this. Whenever you look at someone's tombstone, you have their birth date. We look at Kobe Bryant, 1978-2020. And always the question is, and I've heard it said, that what did you do in that dash in between those dates? And I'm just going to give us a reminder of three things that you need to get together to make sure that you take and get in order before you get to that last date. Three things that we need to take into account as I think about the life of Kobe Bryant. Just some lessons from his life and from what was going on this week. Is that okay? Before we share, let me just pray with us. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're in control. Lord, we're thankful because you're good. And even though we don't always understand what you're doing, we always can't comprehend it. And Lord, sometimes in the moment, it doesn't seem good. Today, we stand on your promises and on your word. That, Lord, you say you're not a man that you lie, or the son of man that you change your mind. And that being said, Lord, your word says in Jeremiah that I have plans for you. They're for good and not evil. Your word says in Romans that you work all things out for the good of those who love you and called according to your purpose. So God, we come to take the good with the bad and say that you're in control. And this morning, Lord, as we all are here, none of us knows when our life is over. None of us knows if today is the last day. I pray, God, that you will cause us to begin to live every moment like it could be our last, to maximize the moments so that we can be ready when the Master comes. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And we'll look at verse 42 to verses 44. And then we're going to flip over to Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, I believe. Matthew 24. If you don't have a Bible or it's on your phone, I believe it'll be up on the screen on either side. Matthew 24, 42 says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We don't know what time the Master is coming. Therefore, you must redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. This morning, I want to give us three things that I want us to do that I think we should focus on as we look at the life of Kobe Bryant, as we look at what's going on and understand that life tomorrow is not promised to us. Three things that we got to put a premium on, and then I'll be out of your way. Number one, you need to value your relationships. Value your relationships. As you all looked at the news this week, I was really just smitten by, as I watched Shaquille O'Neal and how broken he was over Kobe Bryant, Derek Fisher, all of these guys who played with him, played sports with him. But one thing that I have not seen a video, haven't even seen a written response, is from his parents. See, many of you who may not, if you don't know, you don't follow Kobe. Kobe really hadn't been tight with his parents since 2013. Kobe Bryant was totally estranged from his parents. If you notice, when Kobe Bryant was retired in 2016, after his last year, they retired his number. He didn't even invite his parents to the ceremony. In fact, he thanked everybody except his mama and daddy. When he got married back in 2001, his parents didn't even come up to the wedding. They didn't come to the wedding. And then what happened is, and their relationship was shaky, it got better. And then around 2013, the news will tell us, his parents tried to steal from him, essentially. And when they asked Kobe how your relationship with your parents, he used the four-letter expletive. And when I thought about that, there are a lot of people who had good things to say about Kobe. A lot of people who had good relationships with Kobe. But I'm just wondering, I've been trying to find it. I've been trying to find it all week, all weekend, even as early as this morning. What does his mama say? How is his daddy thinking? Because, I mean, I can have a whole lot of good relationships, but sometimes even if my family ain't right. You know, that's a problem. And as I thought about it right now, I'm wondering, was all of that tension, was all of that turmoil, all of that conflict, was it worth it? You know, Pat, recently I was watching the sermon of Dr. Tony Evans as he talked about his wife, and he used the scripture in 2 Timothy, and he says, "And you fought a good fight." And he said, listen, make sure in your life, the things that you fight about are good fights. My question to you today, are there some relationships that you have that are estranged and they're over bad stuff? Stuff that's not even worth it. Today, you need to value your relationships. The Bible in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You notice it says, make every effort. That means you got to go the extra mile to live at peace with not some people. It says to live at peace with who? Everyone. So, you know what? We like to say, listen, I just can't get along with some folks. And that's true. And I'll make myself feel better to say, they just got a personality that is somebody I just can't get along with. But the Bible says, and so what happens is, sometimes we stop trying. The Bible says you got to make how many efforts? Every effort to live in peace with everyone. That means you need to value relationships. It's not okay for you not to be on speaking terms with somebody in your family. It's not okay for you to be not on speaking terms with somebody in your church. Why? Because listen, we ought to get it right more than anybody, because we are what? Of the household of faith. We ought to show the world how to do it. So what you got to do this morning, what I want you to do is to value relationships. January 26th, Kobe had been flying on a helicopter forever. His little daughter was with him with seven other people. Nobody expected that would be his last flight. Been taking that helicopter for 20 years. And now if his parents could rewind the time and says, was this worth it? Don't let your life end and your relationships be bad. Value your relationships. You know, my dad has an opportunity a lot of times to do funerals for Brother Derek Smith. Many of you know Brother Derek Smith owns a funeral home. And sometimes Pastor Matt goes and does services for people who may not have a pastor or a church home. And recently he told me about a funeral that he went to of someone who lived 99 years. It's a long time. And he called me. He said, son, I went to the funeral. It was a 99-year-old man, only seven people there. You mean to tell me in 99 years there's no more relationships? And I don't know. I don't know his story. I'm just thinking outside the box. But I'm here to tell you, we got to value your relationship. You cannot walk this walk as a lone ranger. Ecclesiastes 4 says, two are better than one, for they have a good return for their labor. If one falls, the other one can what? Pick them back up. We were created and designed to be living in community, y'all. Who are you in relationship with? And you need to put a premium and a value on your relationships. If you're here today, and if you're estranged from a family member, a friend, or a church member, God is calling you today to make every effort to live at peace with them. In your mind, think about whoever that person is that I need to go back to. And listen, you can't control other people, but God needs to know, you need to know in your heart that, God, I gave every effort I could to live in peace. What that requires is, you know what that requires? Death. You know that? You need to make every effort to live at peace with your spouse. And sometimes that requires death because, you know, sometimes people do you wrong. Am I right? Anybody ever been done wrong by people? Sometimes people do you wrong. But that does not absolve me from my responsibility to go and try to make peace. Who is it you need to make peace with today? First thing, as I look at the life of Kobe and what has gone on this past week, I'm going to tell you, value your relationships. You know why relationships are so important? Because they're attached to souls. See, because the only thing that lives on is the souls of men. He says, listen, be fruitful and multiply. He tells us to go and bring forth fruit. Fruit is not just behavior, it's souls. That's why relationships are so important. Do you know that most people come to Christ out of a what? Relationship. Is there somebody that you're estranged from in a relationship who needs to know the love of Christ? Is there somebody that you know that you're not on speaking terms with, but listen, if you would just come off of your high horse, it would be a witness to them and draw them closer to the kingdom. First thing, God is calling you to value your relationships. Next thing that you got to do is guard your reputation. Guard your reputation. You know, I was just listening to all of the good things that people had to say about Kobe Bryant. Michael Wilbon is a columnist, used to be a columnist for the Washington Post, and he's on ESPN, and he has this show called Pardon the Interruption. He said he had a heart attack about 9-10 years ago, and then he lives in Arizona, and one day after his heart attack, there was a big bouquet of flowers on his front porch, and the card read, "From Kobe Bryant." And he was just thinking, and they asked him, what is your memory of Kobe? And he said, that's what I remember. This guy who thought enough of me, he just heard about what I went through in the media, sent and brought a call. He said, I thought it was a joke. So I called the Lakers, and they said, yeah, he asked for your address. He sent him flowers. I listened about people that said, listen, everybody knew him as Kobe Bryant, but we just knew him as the man at the grocery store in Newport Beach who would help you carry your groceries to the car. Nice guy. Did things for people. Had a good reputation. But I'm here to tell you what you got to do. You got to guard your reputation. And as believers, though, how do you guard your reputation? The best way to guard your reputation is to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says this. Listen, the Bible in Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver and gold. Listen, you got to worry about what people say about you. You do, especially as a Christian. Because what people say about you ought to be attached to a character that is connected to the fruit of the Spirit. And a great way to have a good reputation, do you know if you just live out this word, your reputation gonna end up good? Because the Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. You gotta guard your reputation, especially in 2020, when listen, your reputation, it used to be that look, you can fool people, you can fool people. Because you can come to church and have a reputation in church and then go do what you do. But now we got social media. We got Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and a whole Twitter and a whole lot of other stuff. And what's happening now is, listen, you can see what kind of reputation, I can see your reputation online. My question is, what do people say about you? And it's more than just what people say. It's who, it's tied to your character, who you are when nobody's looking, because your character is going to bleed out, and that is attached to your reputation. And how do I have a good reputation? I have a good reputation by walking in obedience to what God said. Look at our passage in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, if you go down, verse, let's go up a little bit. Verse 10, it says, and found out what pleases the Lord, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Verse 12, it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Be careful how you live. As followers of Christ, listen, our goal, he said, that we might bear fruit, and our fruit are sometimes is your witness. You got to have a witness before men so that they may ask you a reason for the hope that is within you. What is your reputation? You know, it just reminded me the other day, a friend of mine that I invited to church, and I've been inviting to church for the last, how long have I been out of college? I've been inviting this brother to church and church type events since I was 18 years old. And he called me out the other day, and I think I told you, and it's funny, he called me and said, hey, what's up, church? And you know, he's been calling me church since I was 18 years old. It's funny. He sent me a text, hey, church. And I'm like, I forgot. That's what he used to call me. And I was wondering, you know, at 18 years old, he was calling me what? Church. I had a reputation. I had a reputation, and I couldn't even remember it. I couldn't remember as a college student what I was, you know, all the things. I knew I got into mischievous stuff, but this was one brother who all he identified with me was what? Church. And he wasn't in a negative sense. He was like, I mean, I was scared to witness to this dude. But I got the boldness, and I began to share Christ, and he began to come with me to campus crusade meetings and come with me to retreats. And he eventually never came to Christ, but I'm still praying on him. He's still on my list. But one thing he still associates me with is what? Christ. It's a reputation. What is your reputation? Can I be honest? It frightens me sometimes when I see the reputation of church people on social media. It frightens me. I got friends, family, people I know who say they love the Lord, and then I go on Facebook and I'm like, whoa, I'm uncomfortable. I don't even know how to deal with that. What is your reputation? The world is watching. The world is watching, and we got to make sure that you guard your reputation. He said a good reputation is more than having a whole lot of money. And your reputation is like Kobe Bryant had a great reputation, but guess what? You ought to be known for godliness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But you got to recognize, because life is short, you got to guard your reputation. I used to think when I was younger that I got time to do a whole lot of church stuff. I could do it a little bit later. I can get more serious with God a little bit later. And when I got to college, when I recognized that, listen, now is later. Now is the time. You gotta walk with God early. And you gotta stick with him. Because guess what? The girl Gianna, Gigi, Kobe's daughter, is 13 years old. All the time ahead of her. Gone. You ought to walk with him while it is day. That's why he says it. Listen, remember your creator in the days of your youth. Do you know all of you in here are in the days of your youth right now? You know that? Because why? You're still in the land of the living. Remember your creator right here, right now, while you can. Serve him while you can. Your reputation ought to be one that draws people to the kingdom, not repels them from him. Because I can be honest, do you know our reputation sometimes keeps folks away from church? How many of us have had people say, listen, I don't want to do that because I don't want to be no hypocrite. I know too many people. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'll get into church when I can be serious. And I'm like, wow, they don't watch so many church people that they don't even want to be a part of church. They don't want to even be a part. They don't even want to hear it. Let your reputation draw people. First thing that you got to do is what? Value your relationships. Second, you got to do what? Guard your reputation. But the final thing, when you look at Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bryant had some good relationships, one of some of the most important relationships he was estranged in. We talked about his family. He had a reputation. He had a reputation for a hard worker, the hardest worker. Some people say he was the hardest worker that anybody have ever seen. They said he was a giving person. He had a good reputation with a lot of people. He did a lot of good stuff, was serving the community, had good reputation with a lot of people. But the last thing, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know Kobe Bryant. But you got to value relationships. You got to guard your reputation. But the final thing is you better be certain of your final resting place. See, because if you got good relationships and a good reputation in the community, but you're not sure where your final resting place is, what does it matter? Because there's a lot of good people who end up in the wrong place. Can I be honest? Because God's word, listen, do you know there are people who are good people? You do not have to be a follower of Christ to follow these principles. There are people who follow these principles who say, listen, they are honest people. They don't lie. They don't cheat. They don't steal. They don't sleep around. They don't do a whole lot of stuff. They'll follow these principles. Guess what? And have a great life. But unless they put their faith in the one who came up with the principles, it doesn't matter. See, because you can be good for good's sake, but all of your goodness doesn't make you good enough for God. And I'm here to tell you, if you got good relationships and you got a good reputation, but if today you're standing here and you're not sure where you will rest for eternity, you got a problem. Dr. King said, I'm not worried about that now. He wants to do God's will. I believe he knew his resting place. I can't say what Kobe, I don't know him. I don't know. I cannot speak for him, but all I can deal with who is right here with me today. And the question is, have you made your calling and election sure? Are you certain of where you will spend eternity? God, y'all, and it ain't about doing good stuff. It ain't about how much you've been to church. You know, it always amazes me how when good people die, everybody wants to put them in heaven. You notice that? Because it just don't seem right. Does not seem right that a person who lived such a good life, how could they end up anywhere else but heaven? And you say it doesn't seem right or fair. How is that possible? The reason why that is because the Bible tells us that we're all born separated from God. See, the reasons, see, because listen, we define good by our own standards. God is the only one who knows what good is. And his word says there is none good but God. In God's estimation, the only thing that is good is perfect. The only good that's good enough for God is perfection. The Bible says that by one man, sin entered into the world. Sin just means to fall short of God's standard. And his standard is perfection. So by one man, sin came in. And I'm here to tell you, I declare, I know I've sinned more than one time. I'm sure I've probably dropped the ball more than once today. And if you've broken one law, you've broken all of them. So I can try for the rest of my life to try to make myself right with God. I can try the rest of my life to have good relationships and treat my neighbor right. I can try the rest of my life to build up my reputation so people say good things at my funeral. I can try the rest of my life, and guess what? I'll still die and go to hell. Why? Because sin has separated me from God. And I can't do enough good to make me right with God. You got to make sure of your resting place. So you say, Pastor, if that's the case, I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to have a reputation. I'm trying to treat my neighbor right. How can I be right with God? I'm glad you asked that question. The Bible says by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore, death passed on all of us. But he says in John chapter 3 that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, you're not good enough for God. The only person that's good, perfect, is God himself. So the only thing, the way that you can know of your resting place, the only way you can get access, is if he looks at you and he sees perfection. And God made a way for him to do that. He made him who did not know sin to become sin for you, so that you might become the very righteousness of God. How you can be sure of your resting place today, you have to stand before God and admit to God, I'm not perfect and I can't get in on my own merit. There's no way I'm going to be good enough for God. But there was one who was good enough for God, the God-man, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. God sent him to this earth. God became man and he walked this earth and he went through everything that we go through. And he didn't sin one time. And he did that so that he would qualify to be the sacrifice for your sins and my sins. Why is that necessary? Because God has established that without blood being shed, nobody's sin can be forgiven. Nobody's sin is forgiven without blood being shed. And it has to be perfect blood. Anybody couldn't die. It had to be a perfect being. Had to be a perfect man that had to die. And there's no perfect man ever born, because the Bible said all of us are born in sin. So God said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to fix this whole situation. And I'm going to come to earth and I will be born of a virgin. I will deposit my spirit. I will come inside of a woman and be born of a woman who never knew a man. And I walk this walk and never sin one time so that I qualify to be your sacrifice. And because blood has to be shed, listen, I'm qualified. I didn't sin. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to walk and I'm going to let people kill me. So the perfect blood is shed to qualify to be your sacrifice, and I will be your substitute. And all you got to do is admit you're messed up and believe I took care of your mess ups and invite me into your life. He said, when you do that, then what I will do, when God looks at me now, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see my mess anymore. And when he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when I get to the gates and they say, why should you let you in? He sees the blood. The Bible said when he sees the blood of Christ, he passes over. He sees the blood of his son. He sees the righteousness of his son. And he says, come on in. Enter into my rest. You got to be sure of your resting place. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1 says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. I'm here to tell you, and you say, Pastor, you know, that's that. We know that, but I don't assume anything. You can't assume just because people in church that they're going into heaven. Just like I heard somebody say, you can't assume just because something is in your garage that it's a car. I got a whole lot of junk in my garage. And I can't assume because you've heard this over and over again that you have really acknowledged this truth. I never forget my brother Leon told me. Brother Leon told me the day he got saved. He said, I know I sat in that church week after week and I've heard that man preach that gospel. But one day, I heard it for myself. And just because you could have been here 25, 30 years, 10 years, I don't care how long it is, but I'm here to tell you today, if you're depending on your relationships and your righteous reputation, that will not get you to the right resting place. The only way you can be accepted into his kingdom is to acknowledge that you're a sinner separated from God and accept his son. And when you do that, he said, and I will give unto you eternal life and you'll never perish. Today, the most important thing you can do is make sure you're certain of your final resting place. You know, I was listening and watching, looking at some of the articles, and they say, you know, on the morning that Kobe and Gianna passed, they went to church that morning. They went to church that morning. And that might be good. And I know that's good, but the issue is, I still cannot make a determination because they went to church on Sunday morning. I cannot make the determination that you're going into the right resting place because you're here this morning. I don't know that. You know right where you're sitting. Whether you have made a decision to acknowledge Christ as Savior and make Him Lord of your life. That's how you can be certain of your resting place. Let me make this clear. Notice I said, they acknowledge Christ as Savior and then make Him Lord of your life. The Bible in Romans says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. See, what you got to do is not just have Him to be Savior, but ask Him to be Lord. I want to get that clear. See, nobody in their right mind wants to go to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody in their right mind. Now, there are people who aren't in their right mind. I've heard them say, oh, look, my friend's down there. We're going to have a party. Wrong. There are no parties in hell. Matter of fact, it's a complete darkness. I know you like it dark when you go in the club, but I'm talking about pitch dark. Ain't no songs playing. It's weeping and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. That's not a place you want to be. But what I know, most people in their right mind don't want to go there. So we don't have a problem with being our Savior. See, because we say, Jesus saved me from my sin. My kids say it all the time. Jesus saved me from my sin, but they act like the devil sometimes. Amen. And like I said, Lord, I want you to be Lord of their life. I don't know their heart just yet. I'm not sure. But Lord, be Lord of their life. Today, what God, if you want to have the right resting place, it goes beyond just saying, Lord, save me. I want you to be my Savior and Lord. My dad always says Lord means He's the resident boss. Like last week. He is in, God, save me from, I recognize I'm a sinner and I need you to save me from my sins. Now, God, I'm asking you not only to save me, now have your way in me. That's what this means. And when you make that decision, guess what? You give Him control and now you can be certain that He said, I will give you eternal life and you'll never perish. Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4, last scripture, verse 8, says, now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of His return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to His appearing. He's coming. And He's coming soon. When I say He's coming soon, I know my son was asking me about the rapture the other day. And do you know the rapture for you might be when the church is taken up, but His coming for you might be a car accident. I don't want it to be that. I'm just saying. It was a helicopter crash for Kobe. It really has become really real to me and my wife that guess what? His coming could be any moment. She could have gone from here any moment. 99% blockage of her left anterior descending artery. And she went to sleep every night, woke up every night, and had no idea. No idea. Tomorrow, you don't have tomorrow. I never forget my uncle, my mother's brother. She wanted him to come to know the Lord. And I know my father witnessed to him the day before he passed. And he told my dad, I know Lorenzo. But he wasn't ready. Tomorrow is not promised to us. What you got to do, while you have today, value your relationships. Guard your reputation. Make sure you walk holy. Live for God in public and in private. And be certain that you know where you're going to rest. As we get ready to close, can we all stand? This is the most serious thing, the most important decision that you could ever make in your life. And as we look at the events that happened this week, 9 people, there wasn't just Kobe Bryant and his daughter, there were 7 other people on that flight that we don't have any idea where they are today. And their opportunity is gone. But you're still here. And the scriptures say, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes. If you value your relationships and you make every effort to live at peace with everyone, and you live a good life, have a good reputation, I'm sure Kobe Bryant's memorial service will be packed to capacity. Not enough room for people to get in. If you live a good life, that you would fill up a church far bigger than this one. But you've never come to accept Jesus as Lord in your life, and what does it matter? The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Today, I want to give somebody in here an opportunity to have their soul saved. God loves you. And evidence of his love is that he has you today right here in the land of the living. And he wants a personal relationship with you. He wants to live with you forever. And if you are here and say, Pastor, I want to be certain of my final resting place. I want to be sure that I will live with him forever. It's very simple. All you got to do is admit to God that I'm not perfect. Just tell him, admit to him, I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of your glory. Then you got to believe that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross, that he was buried and that he rose again. And you must choose him to come into your life to be your Savior and to be your Lord. If you make that decision, you can be certain that you will rest with him forever. If you'd like to make that decision today, to be certain of your final resting place, no one looking around, just you and God. That's all that matters. You say, Pastor, I want to be certain of my final resting place. If that's you, won't you raise your hand right where you are? Amen. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Someone else said, Pastor, I want to be certain of my final resting place. I want to be certain that I rest with him finally. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, my friend. Hallelujah. Is there somebody else that said, listen, I want to be sure. This is ain't something you want to take a chance on. Tomorrow is not promised. You want to be sure that you'll spend eternity with him. Will you raise your hand right where you are? Is there somebody else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Second call. You might be saying, listen, Pastor, I've gotten that right, but one thing I don't have right, I got some relationships that I need to mend. That's you. You said, Pastor, pray for me. I got some folks that I need to get right with. And I know it's not right. I need to mend these relationships right now in the land of the living. You need prayer for that. If that's you, won't you raise your hand? Let us pray with you and for you. You got some folks. Amen. I see those hands. Could be some friends. Could be some family members that you're at odds with. I see those hands. You say, Pastor, I need prayer. Help me to be able to mend these relationships. Anyone else need prayer for some relationships this morning? I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Thank you, Father. I see that hand. Anyone else? Life is too short. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Life is too short. You might be here and say, Pastor, I need to ask God to forgive me. Look, my reputation, my witness. I need to guard my witness. I don't have the best reputation with my walk with God. There's some areas in my life that I've allowed to slip and I've been too lax in. And you're asking God to forgive you and you want to begin to walk in obedience to him. If that's you, why don't you raise your hand right where you are? Let me pray with and for you. I see that hand as well. Somebody else said, Lord, help me to guard my witness. Guard my witness. Somebody else need prayer for that. Thank you, God. Final thing is, if there's any, you may have a prayer request. We don't know what it is or something. If you're just in need of prayer, the altar is open. I want all of you to raise your hand this morning for relationships. If you're just in need of prayer for something in your life, I'm going to ask you to come down right here. Let me pray with you and for you. If you're in need of prayer, you're free to come at this time. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You said, Pastor, if you raise your hand for prayer about relationships, you can come. Prayer about your walk, your reputation, you can come. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Boldly come. Boldly come. It's just you and the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You will work, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else, feel free to come at this time. Come boldly. Come boldly. Come boldly to him right now. He doesn't cast you out when you come boldly. Come as you are. If you got something you want to seek God for, feel free to come. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who are here at the altar right now. God, I thank you, Lord God, for that you desire a relationship with us. And God, I pray there's some who are here who, Lord God, are coming to you because they got some relationships that need mending. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're able to do that, that you are the Prince of Peace. You're able to mend wounded relationships, God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll do it in their lives. Lord, it may require some humility on our part, some sacrifice on our part, but break us, Lord God. Lord, your word says that a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. Do a work in their heart, in their life. And God, I pray for the other party in these relationships. God, they may not even be here today. I pray that you'll begin to work in their heart and life as well. God, that you will heal the relationship in such a way that there is a testimony, Lord God, to your goodness and your forgiveness and your long suffering. In the name of Jesus. God, for those of us who say, Lord God, help me in my walk, my witness. God, I want to have a reputation for godliness. I want when people see me, they associate me with you, Lord God. I want when people to see me, they see you. Lord, help us to walk in holiness in these evil days. Lord God, it's a challenge. We are bombarded with all kind of immoral images. We're bombarded with all kind of different worldly affections. But God, help us to fall madly in love with you, that when people see us, that they see you and that all glory is pointed to you. God, there are others who are here for prayer, for other things, for healing. Lord God, for family relationships. It could be for jobs. Lord, you know all of the needs. And we thank you that we serve a supernatural God who's able to do supernatural things in their life. God, I pray that we'll begin to believe you for great and mighty things that our minds could never have conceived. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we applaud our King this morning? Thank you. Amen.